Sunday the 8th of September 2019, 10:45 service, a service of confirmation. A talk is by the Bishop of Barking, the Right Reverend Peter Hill, and the Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Going to read from Luke 14, 25 to the end. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be a disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks, Rainey, for reading that so well. Our sung worship, worshipping words, is important. But part of our worship and central to it is the reading of God's word, and you've just heard it read. Please pray for me now, as I pray for you, that we might hear and receive God's word to us, each one today, and especially these 11 about to confirm their faith. So in the silence, pray. As I pray for you. So, Father, on this journey called life, meet us here where we are today. Speak to us in the power of your Holy Spirit and lead us on to where you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in that Gospel from Luke 14, as all of the middle parts of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is journeying. He has set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. He knows he is going to suffer, to die, and he knows he's going to rise again. The disciples haven't quite understood what he's been telling them. And he's on that journey, as we read Luke 14, verse 25, to the end of the chapter, as you've just heard. And he turns to those who are following him and says some pretty strong stuff. Okay? He says two particularly strong things and then illustrates them. First, he says, "You've got to love me more than your father and mother," basically. Now, that's a tough call. How do we love this God who we don't see, who died for us on the cross, more than we love our nearest and dearest? Hold on to that challenge. Then he says, if you're going to follow me, you need to carry your cross. It's going to be sacrificial. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a heavy journey at times, as well as a joyful one. So this is a challenge today to you 11, but to all of us. As Martin said at the beginning, God may speak to you today, wherever you are in your journey. Hear, believe, and take the next step. Okay? Are you with me? This story in Luke 14 is about discipleship. Now, those of you who've got to know me a bit, especially from that weekend, will know I like a bit of dialogue. So let's do some basic stuff, okay? So what is a disciple? Any offers? Come on, don't be shy. What's a disciple? Sorry? A follower. Excellent. Right, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's got all these people following him, and he turns and challenges them to see if they're really following him or they're just tagging along for what they can get out of it. That's the truth of this challenge. So a follower. What else is a disciple?
Servant.
A servant. Thank you. Got some good answers here. Anything else?
A learner.
A learner. And at the back?
One who reminds you of God.
Exactly. One who reminds you of God's place in your life. Okay. Now, you know, because he knows nothing about football, I'm going to use him as a model now. Come on. Come up. I say it saying come up here. He's so much taller than me. So, Reverend Martin Court. Reverend Canon Martin Court. Bow and honour. Ooh. So, just how tall are you?
About 6'4".
6'4"?
Something like that.
Okay, 6'4".
But only when I'm stood up.
Only when you stood up. So, how long have you been a Christian?
Ooh. 44 years.
44. Did he know he was that old? You know, and older. 44 years. Okay. So you've been on the journey for 44 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long did it take to train you to be a vicar? All 6'4" of you.
6 years.
6 years,
well,
training.
6 years, but we're still in training, aren't we?
You know, you could preach this sermon for me, couldn't you? Because that's exactly my point. Right. Tall as he is, big as he is, how long has he been on the Christian journey? How trained is he in theology and pastoral care and all that stuff that makes him a vicar? He is still a learner. Okay? I wear this funny colour shirt, although I more often wear a black one. Depends on the laundry situation. But that applies to me just as much, okay? A disciple is a learner. The actual meaning of the word in that passage, the Greek word, he knows his Greek. He came up with paroiki, you know. That's the original word of parish, people outside the walls. We're here inside for those outside, yeah? But the word disciple is mathetes in Greek, and it means a bit more than this. Yes, a learner, it actually means an apprentice. Okay? An apprentice. We think of Jesus in Joseph's carpenter or builder's shop. He was being apprenticed. And God the Father was apprenticing him to die and rise for us. So this guy is an apprentice. He's a work in progress on the journey, as am I, and you 11 at the front. When you stand and confirm your faith, and we pray for God's Holy Spirit upon you in a few minutes, it's your apprenticeship that we're confirming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Shall we let him go?
Yeah.
You can keep the L plates on because you're a work in progress.
Indeed I am. Mrs. Court will tell you that.
Julie, he always calls you Mrs. Court. I know. Impressive. Work in progress, Reverend Canon Martin Court, disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
have a seat. We are on the journey of apprenticeship as disciples of the Lord Jesus. Somebody, a guy called Dag Hammarskjöld, years ago, I may have said this to you in the past, some of you, Christian man, Scandinavian, Secretary General of the United Nations, said this. And I've always held on to it. The longest journey is the journey inward. Okay? Wherever you are on your life's journey today, physically, emotionally, spiritually, the longest journey is the journey inward with God inside. Okay, you 11, hold on to that. Your work's in progress. You're on the journey with Jesus. He turns to you today and says, follow me, be apprenticed to me, love me, love me more than anything or anybody else. Now that's a really tough call. And when he says, love me more than my father and mother, the actual words he uses are even stronger. Let me read them to you again. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, if anyone who comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot or she cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now that sounds absolutely ridiculous, does it? Are you supposed to hate your father and mother, your wife, your husband, your children? When I first heard that, I thought, absolute cobblers. More than that, I thought, this is wrong. You need to know, if you've never understood that passage, rabbis, that's teachers of God's word in Jesus' time, and he was a rabbi, his disciples followed him as a rabbi, as a teacher, as a master teacher. They use something we call hyperbole in those days. We don't use it like that anymore, not in British culture anyway. But in Jewish culture then, and still to some extent now, remember Jesus was a Jew, flesh and blood Jew, right? They used hyperbole. Hyperbole simply means total exaggeration. Okay, so it's a comparison. He's basically saying, who do you love most, or what do you love most in this world? He's presuming father, mother, children. Love me more. Now, love in the Christian apprenticeship trade is more than a feeling, much more than a feeling or an emotion. It's not about loving your family. It's not about loving your friends. It's not about romantic love. In fact, it wraps all those up. Do you know the meaning of love in Jesus' terms? It's another Greek word. Throwing Greek around today, he started it. What's the Greek word for love that Jesus uses a lot? Anybody know? They're not badly taught. All that training's come in for something. Agape, okay? And that means sacrificial love. It's the love that's expressed in the cross of Jesus Christ, that he gave himself totally and absolutely for us. And that's the apprenticeship we're called to love God totally and absolutely above all, and to love our neighbours in that way too, and even our enemies. You still with me? Are you 11 up for this sort of love, this sort of apprenticeship? That's the challenge. God's going to take you to places you've never been before. I became a Christian at the age of 20. I've got your testimonies here, for which I'm really grateful. We're going to hear one in a minute, in fact. Thank you for writing those down for me. I've been fascinated, encouraged to read them. But when I was 20, I didn't know what God had in hand for me. Doesn't matter when you become a Christian, God's got more for you. If you had told me at the age of 20 I'd be doing what I'm doing now, or even doing what I did just a couple of years later, which was teach in schools, because I hated school. Anybody hate school? A few hands went up in the back. Us older ones tend to have hated school a lot. Younger ones seem to like it more. Anyway, I hate school, but God called me to be a teacher. You don't know what God's got ahead for you on the journey. Okay? Jesus turned to these people who were following him and challenged them. When I was a nipper, before I came to any Christian faith, the carnival used to go past my grandmother's house up to the hospital field. It raised money for the hospital, the carnival in Morriston, my part of Swansea, where I was brought up, to Morriston Hospital. My grandmother lived in a council flat with a balcony. And when I was 4, 5, 6, I used to love to stand there every July Saturday when the carnival was on and watch it go by. When I got to about 9 or 10, I was allowed out of the balcony when the carnival was on to stand on the pavement. And I could throw coins into the buckets they were collecting. I could be more part of it. When I got to secondary school, I was allowed to walk behind the carnival up towards the field where all the fair and the fun fair was, raising more money for the hospital just below the hospital building itself. And at one point I was even invited to go on the lorries and the trucks for the carnival. Over those years, I got closer and closer to the action. I eventually got to the field when I was about 13. I was allowed on my own with my mates to go and take full part in the whole of the carnival day. Jesus turns to you today and says, you're not a child anymore in faith or in life. You're not watching from the side and contributing a bit to me. You're walking with me and I'm taking you to the carnival of life fully as my apprentice. That's what you confirm today. Okay? You still with me? Right. Jesus, this is almost my last word. Jesus uses two little parables to drive his point home. He says, you know, if you're going to build a tower, you count the cost first. You don't start the building. I know you're into working out a huge building project here, and you've got to count the cost. And I know you're on a journey to start it, but you haven't got it all together yet. And it's hard work, but you've got to count the cost. That's the parable that Jesus said first, but he was talking about building a tower. Don't start until you've got it all together so you can buy enough bricks, etc. And then, more tough one, if you're going to wage a war, if you're going to fight a battle, you need to make sure you've got all you need to win it. Those are the two parables he used. I want to finish what I've got to say to you 11 especially, but to all of us, and I challenge myself. Jesus said, consider, if you read there's a word consider in that passage, consider, have you got enough to finish the job? Okay? And as apprentices of Christ, are we willing to find enough resources to follow him to the full? I want you to consider this apple, right? Have a guess, how many seeds are in the apple? How many seeds? Come on, shout out. 8, 2, 6, 4. Okay, considering this apple, 4, 2, 6, 8. Christine, come back, you thought you finished. Come on. I like to have some stooges. I want you to cut that open. That apple.
Trust me with a knife.
More than that, right? Mrs. Hill, Ellen, before I left home this morning, when she saw me take two of her best knives out of the drawer, because I got a spare, she said, you better bring those back, or it's death for you. So I'm trusting you with Ellen's special kitchen knife. Cut it open. 2, 4, 6, 8 we had. No, nobody likes odd numbers around here. 7, right.
There we go.
Count them.
Count them?
Yeah. Dig them out and count them. Come on, get the job done. What sort of apprentice is this?
I can only see two. Here we are. Oh, one and a bit. Here we are. One. Right,
No, there's more. See, no,
yeah. One and a bit.
There's a parable. You've got to dig deeper in life. Right?
No.
You just don't cut it in half. You know, you've got to get into
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm going to cut it again. Let's have a look. No. No more seeds.
No more seeds. One and a half.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's all. One and a half seeds.
Well, we picked the wrong apple there.
We did.
I cut one open earlier that's got a lot more in it, look.
I'm making a mess here, you do realise
it's
that.
It's all right.
Yeah, no, just the one and a half.
Okay, well, we'll really use that, right? Okay. My point is this. There is a point. Thank you so much. You can count. You can count the number of seeds in an apple, right? There's the seed. Not the half, there's the whole seed that we found, at least one seed, right? You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Are you with me? Think about that for a minute. You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in this seed. If I was to plant this seed, its journey of growth would eventually release a number of apples if it's looked after right and tended right. But we don't know how many apples each year. You are this seed in Christ. Okay? You are the seed. He has planted himself in you, you 11. And hopefully he's planted himself in the rest of you. He has anyway. You may not recognize it, some of you, but he has. The question is, as his apprentices, as his disciples, are you going to nurture and be nurtured? That's what church is about, teaching, nurturing, feeding with the word of God. And are you going to produce the fruit of your apprenticeship and your discipleship? You with me? So ask yourself, maybe every week, maybe every year, as you remember your confirmation, you 11, you can count the number of seeds in this apple. But will you count the number of apples in you for Jesus as a seed? You with me? One last thing. As we come for communion, it's a long service today. We're packing everything in. As we come for communion, you come for your food, for your fertilizer. The love of Jesus shown to you in his body and his blood. That agape sacrificial love. Through bread and wine, the symbols, the sacrament we use, is what will feed you to produce God's fruit in your life. So as you hold your hands up for the bread and for the wine, know that the Lord Jesus holds his crucified loving hands up to you so that you can make the journey for the rest of your life as close up to him as possible. That's confirmation. Amen. Amen.